In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, welcome to the second episode of Two Teachers in Love. I'm America's favorite rapping teacher, Mr. Reed, with my soon-to-be wife.
Almost Mrs. Reed.
Almost Mrs. Reed. I can't wait till we get that almost out of there. Mm-hmm. On the very first episode, we talked about our love story and why we decided to get into education as teachers and teaching in Chicago and things of that nature. On today's episode, what are we talking about, baby?
So we're going to be talking about leading up to the first week of school. Definitely a little bit of that first day, first week. And then we're also going to talk about more of our love story. I know we left y'all hanging last time, so we got to finish that.
Left them hanging. So without further ado, again, how this is going to be broken down is we'll talk about our love, Simone and Dwayne. We'll talk about our teaching, our pedagogy, our methodology, how we get down in the classroom and at school. And then we'll talk about how some of the things we've talked about on today's episode play out into, you know, real life, life outside of the school walls. Is that right?
Yeah,
definitely. Yeah. So let's jump straight into it. About 3 weeks ago was the very first week of school in Chicago Public Schools. Simone, can you talk about the weeks leading up to school? Like, what happened in the summer? Maybe mm-hmm. we can kind of talk a little bit more about our story. Where did we leave off?
I believe we left off right when we were just starting to date. And actually being together. And so we can kind of give them the fast forwarded version. We started dating in February, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And then as soon as we started dating, you behind the scenes were planning already an engagement for us. I didn't know anything about it, obviously, during all of this time. We're just hanging out, enjoying our time together, ending our last school year. And my birthday was in June. Mm-hmm. And in June was when he decided he wanted to throw me a surprise party, which also ultimately was our surprise engagement party.
Yes.
No one knew about it. It was a surprise to me, just like it was a surprise to all of my friends. And I loved it. I loved everything about it. And so fast forwarding some more through the rest of the summer, after we get engaged, we figure let's spend the entire summer planning our engagement mm-hmm. because when school comes back around, we want to focus on school.
And we're going to be crazy. We don't want to be two chickens with their heads chopped off, trying to run around, go here, go there, go everywhere. So we thought, hey, let's get this planning process out of the way. So come school time, we're just ready to get married. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? So I want to kind of take it back a quick little second. So I asked Simone to be my girlfriend. I knew I wanted her to be my wife, but I asked her to be my girlfriend on Valentine's Day, February 14th at our Bible study. Just a quick little text message. Aww. Hey, girl, will you go out with me? You know, and we were in the same room. So she looked up like, oh, yes, of course. What took you so long? Oh, my gosh. And then from there, I knew I wanted to marry her. So I told her mama like a month later, hey, I'm probably going to propose to your daughter. Can you help me set this up? So we're contacting family and friends, and all I'm doing is letting them know that I'm going to have a surprise birthday party for Simone because I don't want anybody to ruin the surprise that I'm going to propose to her. So I coordinated with the school that we went to in junior high because when Simone and I were younger, she gave me my first kiss in the hallway during our eighth grade dance.
Sure did.
Yes. And, you know, she was, you know, a little freaky back then. So. So I wanted to coordinate it to where I got down on one knee and proposed to her in the same exact hallway. So got that all going. Sorry if you hear things over there. We live in Chicago and we live right next to a busy street. So, you know, Chicago. So I wanted to coordinate things, get us in the same school. Where we were 15 years ago, got everybody in there as a surprise. Hey, this is going to be a birthday party type thing. Got everybody in there. I had cameras going. They were watching it. And then finally, I took Simone there, blindfolded her. Can you mm-hmm. take it from there, see?
Blindfolded me. It felt like I was under that blindfold for at least 3 years. I don't know why, but I was just so ready to take it off. But got there, I'm like, this place is really quiet. I thought we were going to a restaurant. And it turned out that as soon as I took off my blindfold, like he said, we were at the junior high. I immediately saw that. And in my mind, I'm still thinking, I'm not thinking engagement. I'm just thinking like, oh, okay, he's just trying to do something sweet. Give me some old memories. Mm-hmm. Maybe, you know, have some cool video or something he's trying to do right now. But
little does she know, I'm Dwayne Reed.
Basically, in other words, I should have known he had something up his sleeve even greater than that. And it turned out to be our engagement party. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. So get down on one knee, ask if she'll go out with me for the rest of our lives. It was something even sweeter than that. But she starts crying. And then I'm like, hey, OC, I'm sorry that your family's not here. I know you wanted them to be here. And she's like, it's okay.
Yep.
I'll tell them later. Oh, my gosh.
I really thought that they weren't there. I honestly was like, dang, okay, well, we're going to go and tell them when we go see them later this evening. Mm-hmm. But so to my surprise again, we turn the corner and there's my entire family, all of my friends, my grandparents, our church family. I mean, it's just amazing. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe that he actually pulled that off.
She actually walked into the room where all the family was. She screams, no! I got it on video, so you'll have to check it out later. So we get engaged. Everything's happy. And I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to get married in a year. I'm trying to get married in 3 months.
3 months?
3 months.
Like, no lie, 3 months.
Like, so let's plan this thing.
Got engaged in June. We're getting married in a week.
Yeah, we're getting married September. In September. So did a lot of planning. There was a lot of tears, a lot of, oh, my gosh. I think we learned a lot about each other over the course of our wedding planning.
Oh, yeah, we definitely did. When you're planning for a wedding, just a side note, you definitely are going to see where you and your partner were raised mm-hmm. mentally, how you guys view different things mm-hmm. like finances and what's important. And I mean, fortunately, we came together and had to compromise on a lot of things that we agreed on.
But there were a lot of times, too, where I was like, so where are you from? Like, mm-hmm. why do you function like that? Mm-hmm. Like who in their right mind would make a decision like that?
Yeah.
But there were a lot of times where I had to like kind of kill my pride and say, no, this is a whole woman who's dreamed about this for her entire life.
Oh yeah.
I have to put Dwayne to the side, you know, me wanting to have this like, no, cost effective. Yeah. And I had to put that to the side and say, you only get one wedding.
Yeah.
At least I hope. So,
but don't get me wrong. I also had to think about it on my compromising part was let me not be too over the top. Like you said a million times, we have a marriage to plan for and the wedding is just one day.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That helped a lot.
Facts. So we got to where we're both compromised and we're both happy and we're ready for this thing. Like, shoot, 7 days away. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh my gosh, I'm so excited.
As am I. So that kind of leads us into September.
Yeah.
And everybody knows, well, most people know, in Chicago, public schools, we start our school year right after Labor Day.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter when, if it's a Tuesday, if it's a, it's right after Labor Day.
Yeah.
So this year, we started about 3 weeks ago. That was the first week of school. And can you kind of talk about that first day of school or the first week and what it's like?
Oh, yeah, for sure. So first day, first week, first day is really really, really unorganized. The best way I can put it is we're just doing a lot of getting to know you activities.
Mm-hmm.
I'm playing a lot of like, let's do the name game. Let's do this activity where we all stand up. And if you like the thing that I say, you keep standing. But if you don't like it, you take a seat.
Mm-hmm.
And that allows the kids to get to know each other. I'm giving them a slideshow, a PowerPoint actually about me and about you. Because I'm getting ready to marry you.
Ooh.
And my students from last year do remember you. So fortunately, they could really relate to that. And they were super excited to see what had changed over the summer.
Do you have them call you Miss Ree or Miss Matthews?
I actually did. So it's funny because I'm like, I'm Miss Matthews, but I'm about to be Miss Reed. So if you call me Miss Matthews right now, it's okay. But after September 29th, it's absolutely Mrs. Reed. So
isn't there times, like what happens if they still call you Miss Matthews?
If they call me Miss Matthews, I completely ignore them.
Yes.
I do not look their way and they will say Miss Matthews and it'll be a student who'll be like, it's Miss Reed now. You gotta call Miss Reed. As soon as I hear Miss Reed, I'll turn around like, yes, did you ring my name?
Hey, you so petty, bro. So first day of school is a lot of getting to know you.
Yeah.
It's a lot of getting to know them, right? So that's kind of the same for me in my class.
I was going to say, would you say it's the same for you?
Yeah, it's, hey, hello, I'm your teacher. My name's Mr. Reed, and it's very nice to meet you. I'm from, no, I'm kidding. But it's a lot of getting to know me, the ins and outs of who I am, a lot mm-hmm. of the hobbies, the interests, things I like, things I don't like, weird stories about me. One of the stories that I love to tell kids is that I've been hit by a car twice. By both of my parents.
Wait, are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Why don't I know this? Oh. Well, look, see, I'm learning something new too.
So my mom hit me on the way to church one time, you know, going to praise the Lord. And, you know, my mama hit me. Wow. And then my stepdad, he was backing out of the driveway. I think his was on purpose, low key. But he was backing out of the driveway and he hit me and I fell down and didn't have to go to the hospital or anything. It's more like a walk it off type of thing. But
so I'm going to just say this. I am an entire adult. And as you're telling me this story, I'm like, what? So I can imagine a classroom full of children who are probably just so captivated by the story. Like, you've actually been hit by a car.
Facts. But I spice it up too. Like, I completely embellished the story. It was raining and it was dark and lightning struck right then at that. Like, kids are like, what? Are you serious? And I'd be like, no, I'm kidding.
What a way to get them excited though. And kind of get them really interested in knowing more about you. Like,
yeah.
That small stuff like that is what really gets the kids to understand, like, dang, I want to know more. Like,
facts.
If that happened to you, like, what else?
Mm-hmm. And then even making them hip to what they're going to be going through the entire year. Like, oh, Mr. Reed going to be dramatic. I'm already knowing.
Yeah.
Right? Or Miss Matthews is going to be really sweet and really kind.
Yeah.
Like, when you tell stories, see, like, I feel like you tell the story to a point where it's like, wow, all these little details that I might not have thought of that are really captivating as well. So a lot of that first day, like telling a lot of stories, a lot of fun, if you will, because I think that's important. I think that first day, that first week, shoot, those first 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks is who are you as a human being? Mm-hmm. Like, I always say you have to Maslow before they can bloom, which means you have to reach them at a heart and health level before anything else worthwhile can take place.
Wow.
And that starts by letting you know that you're safe when you're with me, letting you know that I'm a human being just like you, and we're going to get through this 180 school days together.
That's so powerful. And even in my sixth year of teaching, I 100% agree with you that if you don't have relationships built with the children, the rest of the school year, it's just not, it's not going to go well.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. They're going to be like, psh, who are you, bro? Like, why are you in front of my face?
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean to me?
They have to have a respect for you, because some of them don't have that respect at home, or maybe they don't have friends that they have that relationship with. Mm-hmm. So if they have it with you as their teacher, they'll feel safe, they'll feel secure, and they'll be prone to learn, more.
To learn. Great. We'll learn how to say learn. No. But kids will run through a brick wall for you if they feel like you're for them, right?
Yeah.
And that all starts that first couple weeks of school. So definitely.
Awesome.
And then what else kind of do you think is going on in those first few weeks?
Just a lot of rules, procedures, expectations. I mean, other than just getting to know the students, it's a lot of, we're going to practice lining up in the hallway. We're going to practice how we come into the classroom. We're going to practice saying good morning when we walk in through the door.
But wait. Doesn't that kind of scare you, though? Shouldn't that scare me as a parent or scare me as a scholar coming into your classroom? Rules, procedures, expectations. Like, do you think that many people might hear that and be like, oh, that's no fun. That's going to be terrible. What are your thoughts to that?
I do feel like that might immediately, because kids like freedom.
Yeah.
Kids like not having rules, not having all these high expectations.
Yeah.
However, if you really want them to do well in your classroom, you have to have those expectations set, whether they like them, whether they don't. And it doesn't mean you can't make them fun. I'm not drilling them like a drill sergeant when they come into my classroom.
Mm-hmm.
If they're saying good morning to me, and that's just a simple requirement I ask for, and I tell them, when I say good morning to you, it's just a way we start the day.
Yeah.
I want to hear you say good morning back when you walk in the door. Or when I'm lining you up, I'm not just saying, you know, show me one, fold your arm, show me two, stand up, show me three, line up, because I just want you to feel like I'm drilling you, but because I don't want anyone to feel unsafe in the hallway.
Yes, that's so huge. My mentor teacher, she told me, whenever you're practicing these procedures and whenever you're doing these rules and going over and over again, what you can say to your kids is, this is for your safety.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that we can hear over the intercom at all times.
Yeah.
I need to make sure that you can quickly get to where you need to get in a safe manner.
Yeah.
So if ever any parents are like, oh my gosh, you're practicing that 500 times. Yeah, I want your kid to be safe.
Safe as hell.
And then who's going to say, oh, well, no, no one's going to say no to that, right?
Exactly.
And I think to your point, C, I tweeted something the other day and it said, kids don't initially like structure. In fact, they hate it, but they always need it. And ultimately, they grow to love it, right? Like,
I was just going to say, I 100% agree with that. Every classroom that I've ever observed that had a lot of structure, those kids love their teacher. Mm-hmm. They love their class. They love their teacher. And the ones that don't have structure, you'll hear kids. They'll tell you. They'll be honest. They'll go, man, this class is always acting crazy. Yeah. And we don't do nothing in that class. Yeah. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's fun for the moment, but they know they're not learning.
Yeah.
They know that nothing is being achieved.
Yeah. And I think this even reminds me, we was talking today about your mama, because, you know, your mama's a teacher. Yeah. And about how, you know of a student that she had many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And just how much that student loved your mom, because she, runs a tight ship.
Yeah.
And it's like, things gonna get done because, Mama Matthew said they're gonna get done, right?
All because of that. And building relationships.
Facts.
Relationships and structure are two of the biggest things that you could set in that first week of school.
Agree. Like, I can have, hey, we gonna enjoy each other's company this school year, but I can also still have high expectations for you. This reminds me of a student that I had. I was talking to him over the summer, and he said, Mr. Reed, I loved coming to school every single Monday. And that's not something you normally hear, like, a student say, like, I love coming to school on Mondays. And I was like, why? What makes you say that? He says, quote, because we always knew what we was finna be doing. We always knew what we were going to be doing, and that made it fun. So he's saying, I loved having structure because it made me feel safe. I knew what was on the schedule. And it's like, kids deep down hate it to begin with, but they love it.
Yeah.
They love it because they know that they need it. So,
question for you then, what do you think are like some of your most important expectations or rules to establish first week of school?
Sometimes I'm definitely cool with getting everybody on board to put all of the rules together, right? And we'll have this grand discussion, and I start to pick the answers that everybody is saying, and then kind of put language that's appropriate for it. So, for example, here's what a couple of my rules would be. Listen first, speak last, right? Because don't nobody want to be talking and then somebody else talking over them or not giving them their,
So important.
Right? So listen first, speak last. Second one, choose your words wisely. Like, don't say something you wouldn't say in front of your mama, or say something that you wouldn't say in church, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I tell kids all the time, you go to church, they'd be like, yeah. I'm like, I bet you don't be cussing when you go into church. They'd be like, no. This girl the other day, she was like, I'm trying to get right with God, Mr. Reed. I know I shouldn't be cussing.
Oh my gosh.
At least they know. Yeah, they know. Deep down, they do. The third, keep yourself to yourself, right? Respect your body, respect other people's body. The fourth, ask appropriate questions. I want you to ask questions, but let them be appropriate. And then fifth, which is I started instituting this year, is this rule is, remember, you are Black excellence. So, I teach at a school that's 99.9% Black, and I want it to be a rule that they think, no, remember that I am Black excellence.
Yeah.
I'm not trash. I'm not what they say I am on the media. Yeah. I am excellence. I come from kings and queens, and I need them to remember that. So
I think that's so important, especially in these Chicago public schools. I mean, that's something I'm sure they probably don't hear until they come into your classroom.
Yeah. I mean, you would hope, right? So the prayer is that family or friends or even other friends, are lifting them up and building them up.
Yeah.
But oftentimes we've seen it time and time again. It's not the case.
Yeah.
It's not the case. So what about you, Simone? What are some of the rules that come to mind in your class?
I'd say most of my rules are just like any other teacher. I mean, I let the kids work on them with me. We talk about just being a good listener. We make sure we talk about equity of voice. We make sure we talk about
equity of voice.
Words. Okay. We make sure we talk about just staying in our seat, not using profanity. I actually use the Class Dojo app where I show all of these different things that if they don't follow that rule, I can mark it on there. Or if they are following that rule, they can mark it on there. So pretty simple. But yeah, nothing like super crazy.
Do you have any, I know you just said nothing. Do you have any like kind of weird rules or rules that's like, that's kind of odd? Where'd you get that from?
Let's see. Anything weird? I don't think I have anything that's weird, but I mean, do you have one that's weird?
Oh, come on now. What? The other day, what did you say to me? You're like, ugh, you are the weirdest person in the world.
I did.
But you love me, right?
I do.
Okay. Weird rule. I'd say, not weird, but I tell my kids they can't like use God's name in vain. So they can't say like you can say OMG, you can say oh my goodness, you can say oh my big toe, like but I'm like, don't use God's name in vain, especially the God I serve, because it's like, that's like using your mama's name as a cuss word, right? Ooh. And then I give them an example. I'm like, what if I was like, blah, 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 blah. I don't actually cuss. But I'm like, what if I blah, 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 your mama? They'd be like, man, I get to. I'm like, that's how I feel when you use God's name in vain. So don't say OMG. Like, so is that a weird rule?
It's not a weird rule at all. I mean, I can see why that might sound weird to the kids, because that's not something they're used to hearing. But I think that's really actually a good rule to have.
And better
I think
put I'm some respect on God's name. You feel me?
I'm going to borrow that one for sure, for sure.
So let's talk a little bit more deeper about your first day, first week of school. Kind of something that's kind of like, ooh, wow. But it happens to a lot of teachers. Tell me about, I guess, your second day of school. What happened?
Yeah, so on my second day of school, believe it or not, I teach currently fourth and fifth grade. And I had a co-teacher that I was working with. And unfortunately, the co-teacher left on the second day. Super unfortunate. I know it's the second day of school. It's not ideal, but it does happen.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was left with fourth and fifth to myself. And even more than that, two grade levels teaching more subjects that I was not teaching currently. So that's just been a huge challenge for me, because walking into a school building and preparing for something that completely changes on the second day. I mean, this is what teachers do, right?
Facts.
We have to be able to be flexible and work on our feet.
But that's extra flexible. That's Simone Biles gymnastic flexible. Like, you think you're going to teach one thing and you're going to teach these certain students at this certain time.
Yeah.
And then, nope, rug pulled out from underneath you. You're teaching all of this, and you're teaching all of this to all of these kids at one time. Like, what does that feel like for people who've been in similar situations? What does that feel like, Simone?
So I'm going to be honest. When you said all these kids, I immediately thought of like, yeah, all of them, 32 strong. And it's hard. Like every day I walk into work and I'm like, how am I making it through the day?
Yeah.
How am I possibly doing this? And I know that could sound like complaining to teachers who have a regular class of 30 kids, but I'm really more so just saying, I understand that feeling. Like I understand how having 30 children in a classroom is, you want to make sure they're all safe. We want to make sure that they're all learning.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're always going to have those anomalies that you're going to have to attend to more than some of the other kids. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's hard. It's hard dealing with that. It is possible. So I don't want to make it seem like it's just like complete just, I can't deal with it. It is possible.
Right, you've been doing it.
Yeah, I mean, been there and been doing it. And kudos to all the teachers who have been doing that.
Facts. Like, I think to your point, like, yeah, there are teachers who look at 34, 35, 38 kids in one class, and that's just their lot.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean it's not hard, right?
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's not really, really difficult.
And
I honestly think, and maybe I'm going to step on some toes here, but oh my gosh, can we get class sizes down across the nation? Down from the 30s, down closer to the, you know, the 20s, the low 20s at least.
And especially the older the classroom. I know my mom at her school, she teaches eighth grade, and she currently has 32 or 31, I believe. I can imagine 31 eighth grade size students, like fourth and fifth. Okay, you know, they're a little smaller still. Yeah. The line's real long, but you can still see everybody because they're shorter than you.
Right.
Eighth graders, I mean, that's like a bunch of like 6 foot, 5 foot, 4 feet. You've got a mixture of everything going on. I just,
6 foot eighth graders?
Yeah.
Got some these NBA kids are players. Big now.
These kids are huge.
Dang. So what's crazy is, though, that once Simone told me that, you know, the teacher that was her co-teacher left, I was like, dang, maybe I should go teach at her school. And I considered that heavily. Like, I will take this position and teach this 4/5 split with you, so that it takes that. Like, I'm thinking, we finna get married. I don't want you coming home dead tired every day.
Yeah.
Having to deal with 31, 32 kids. Like, I don't want my wife to have to deal with that. So I heavily weighed the pros and cons of teaching at your school, right? And what were some of those kind of pros and cons? Do you remember?
So some of the pros would have been, I mean, you're just an awesome teacher. So I know we would have worked well as co-teachers. Like, we already understand each other personally. We understand each other's teaching methods. We learn from each other in so many different ways when it comes to teaching. And so I know for a fact you would have came in with that, and we would have been able to just immediately have that co-teacher relationship on point.
Discipline, everything.
Literally everything. And I could have easily showed you the ropes of how things have been going. We could talk about it day and night. I mean, it would have worked.
But I think even that, so you talking about it day and night, like, could you imagine every single day, 7.5 hours a day working together as colleagues, and then carpooling home, spending however many hours at home together, like, That's a big con, like all day, every day with each other.
And that's ultimately why we decided not to do that. Yeah. I mean, we were just like, it's healthy that we do communicate so well and that we can work together well. But I think in all or any relationship and us leading up to our marriage, we didn't want to overdo that. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to jump too far into how much time we're around and spending with each other. I mean, I want to come home and be missing you and thinking about you while I'm at work. And I know a bad day could have, we can come home with attitudes, and we didn't want to have to do that to each other. So,
and I think something like you said, like absence makes the heart grow fonder. Like even missing you for them 7.5 hours, like, you know, we'll text every now and again throughout the day, or maybe a 2-minute FaceTime call or something on a break. Like, that's good. And that makes me be like, dang, I cannot wait to, you know, I'm married, or I cannot wait until I get to see her every single day after work. Yeah. And that would have been tough. That would have been tough seeing each other all the time. Don't get me wrong, you are a sight to look at.
Aww.
But all day, every day, could you imagine staring at the Mona Lisa all day, every day? Like, okay.
It's getting a little tiring now, looking at that.
Right.
Yeah.
But I know you love looking at me, though, right?
Oh, I just love it. But no, seriously, though, I think that since we made the decision not to work together, it has actually been super beneficial. So.
Yeah, so who knows? We'll see come, you know, mid-school year, end of school year, like, what we're looking at. Like, if you're coming home and you're, like, dead, I might have to, like, step up and be like, nah, babe, I'm coming in, and, you know.
Yeah.
I got to be the man and come through and not say today, but rescue my damsel, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And not to say you're a damsel in distress, but save me right now. Because I'm digging a grave, I feel like.
It's okay. But I did, you know what? I'll get you out of that real quick. So I was thinking about something. Since we're not working together, the kids you've been working with, you've got a chance to introduce them to who I am and talk about me.
Yes.
And so how has that been, kind of telling your new classroom or your classroom, you know, you're about to get married in a month?
Yeah. So I talk about Simone all the time. They think she looks like Beyonce. I've shown them pictures. She do look like Beyonce. She look gorgeous. And every single day for the last 3 weeks, my kids have asked, how many days to get married? How many days to get married? How many days to get married? I think it's so crucial for us to talk about our marriage, because for a lot of our kids, both Simone's and mine, they haven't seen marriage. No. They haven't seen good marriages. You know, they don't come from... A lot of our kids, not all of them, but a lot of our kids don't come from those situations where marriage is like preeminent. So I think being able to be an example of, we can be black and married. We can be two attractive individuals and married.
Yeah.
Like, we can be doing things, you know, quote unquote, the right way as we see fit.
Yeah.
And I really think that showing black love to our black students, like, is super powerful. What you think, C, as we kind of wrap this up?
No, I definitely think, number one, it's super powerful. Number two, anytime that we get on break and we get a chance to FaceTime each other for a quick break, I know my kids were coming in from recess one day and I was hopping off the phone with you, and they love it. Like, they love to see that love, and they are just hyping it up. They're instigating, oh, what you guys talking about, Miss Reed? And ultimately, I mean, that's what everyone wants to see. Everyone wants to see love, not just kids, people in general. I mean, it's just a sight to see.
Yeah, and that extends outside of the classroom too, outside of the school.
Yeah.
Just even in our personal lives, just friends from old and friends of new and church friends, and just everybody's like, oh my gosh, keep going.
Yeah.
Like, keep this love. It points me back to the beginning. It's the relationship.
Yeah.
Simone and I have built a relationship. We've known each other for, what, 15, 16 years?
15 years.
Like, we've built this relationship, but also we've got this structure in place that says, yo, here's how we're going to do things. We're going to talk through this. If it's an issue, we're going to fight through it. We're not just going to sweep it under the rug. We're going to get down to business, and then let's keep it moving. I love you. You love me. Let's keep it popping. You feel me?
Oh, that's so sweet.
So this has been the second episode talking about the first day of school, first week of school, talking about our wedding planning, our love, and how that kind of fleshes itself out outside of the classroom. Anything else you want to add as we wrap this up?
Definitely just look forward for the next episode because we got way more stuff.
So
guys.
Much stuff. This way is going to be so fun, G. You want to rap as we exit out?
Here we go. I'm glad you tuned in to our second episode. Can't wait to come back to do some more. It's me, Simone, and my bae, Dwayne. And next time you see us, you going to know our name.
Hey. All right, y'all. This has been Two Teachers in Love. I'm America's favorite rapping teacher, Mr. Reed, and she is
almost Mrs. Reed.
All right, and we'll holler at y'all. Peace.
Peace.